Kid Cop. This film is certificated as Sky U. Leesbrook, population 12,005. A police car patrols the streets of Leesbrook town. A mother stands with her daughter at a bus stop.
Want to stop off for some ice cream before we go home?
Okay. A thief runs off with her handbag. He runs round the corner, down the high street and straight into the path of a police car. He runs in the opposite direction, but the police officer chases him in the car. The officer gets out and runs after him.
Frank, pursuing suspect, heading to Pike, send back a bullet.
The thief turns back on himself and runs towards the police car. As he approaches, the passenger door is flung open, knocking him to the ground. A young boy emerges from the car.
Stop! Police!
Good job.
Thanks. Can I read him his rights?
No, I think I'll take care of that. Thank you.
Brainstorm Media, in association with Image Organization and World International Network, present Kid Cop. A 1996 action thriller about an 11-year-old whose obsession with detective work plunges him into a dangerous adventure. Starring Alexandra Paul, Edward Albert, Cindy Pickett, John Rubenstein, Michael Fairman, Bethany Richards, Louis Arquette, Sandra Curry, with Tim Thomason and Jeremy Lelliot as Peter. Film editor Christopher Roth. Music by Richard Bowers. Director of photography, Hal Trussell. Executive producer, Pierre David. Play by Michael Barmish. Directed by Rob Malenfant. A park full of playing children. Peter, 11 years of age, cycles towards an ice cream van.
This is my hometown. Quiet, friendly. I do my part to keep it safe. But you never know what may happen.
As he approaches the red van, a girl of the same age turns to look at him. The wife opens the freezer.
There you go.
That's a chocolate blast. As for a slide up, you know, you slide the ice cream up on a stick.
Say, what's he talking about?
I don't know. What does it sound like? Something to slide up on a stick. We must be out of those.
Yeah, we must be out of those.
Aw, man. They're the best kind.
Don't stand. Those are the best kind. Don't you know how to order?
How do I know? It's ice cream. Kid, ice cream is ice cream. All right, you want ice cream?
Her husband, Stan, pushes a stick through an ice cream.
A stick? Yeah.
Watch your temper. He's just in a bad mood. What's your name, young man?
Peter, ma'am.
Oh, you are so polite. Listen, can I get you something else, maybe?
I'll just take the chocolate blast, please.
Here you go.
Thanks.
Peter pays Beverly.
Thank you. You know, we've had this ice cream truck so long that I think he's starting to lose it.
Beverly.
I gotta get home. Don't forget, slide ups.
Yeah, slide ups. See you, Peter.
Bye.
Behind a beautiful fountain stands a large, majestic house. Mrs. Jacobs, a redhead in her 40s, opens the mailbox. Peter rides up to her.
Oh, hi, Peter.
Hi, Mrs. Jacobs.
I heard about how brave you were earlier today.
All in a day's work.
Well, just you be careful. I don't want to see you get hurt.
Yes, ma'am. Just keeping an eye on the neighborhood. My mom wanted me to give these to you.
Oh.
Peter hands her some magazines, but she drops the letter she has been reading.
It's important.
It is. I'm thinking of selling my coins to a collector when I get back from my trip.
Your gold coins?
Mm-hmm. Well, they're just sitting around. If someone else can appreciate them, why not?
Oh, but they're so cool.
Well, I have no use for them, really. They belong to Mr. Jacobs, and since he's passed on...
I wish I could buy them. I'd put them to good use.
Well, I don't think your allowance would cover it. Now listen, it's getting close to dinner time. You better run along.
You're right. Bye, Mrs. Jacobs.
Bye-bye, Peter.
A car driven by Peter's mother, Sarah, approaches a large house surrounded by beautiful trees and shrubs. She pulls up outside the front door. Peter arrives home at the same time and cycles up to the car to meet her. Sarah gets out and hands Peter the shopping.
Again.
Yeah, we caught a mugger.
What do you mean we?
Frank and me. We nabbed him.
Well, Frank and me, we're going to have a little talk about this.
In the evening, Peter lies on his bed throwing a ball and listens to a police walkie-talkie.
59, over. Copy. I'm bringing it in. Time to call it a night, over. Roger.
Frank, possible 459 at 173 Main Street. Can you respond? Over.
Yeah, this is Frank. Seems to be another popular night for alarms. Still at the Bridal Lane address, and I'll go on over to Maine in a little while. Over.
10-4.
Peter jumps off the bed and grabs his badge and rucksack. He creeps out of the house and rushes off on his bike to the location mentioned on the walkie-talkie. He arrives at a shop called Collectibles. Inside, a burglar creeps along a corridor into the main shop.
The back door was open and Frank wasn't here yet. I figured I'd better have a look inside and check things out.
Peter gets off his bike and lays it on the ground, looking round cautiously. Still wearing his white cycle helmet and carrying his purple rucksack on his back, he slowly walks up the path to the back door and turns to look behind him. Inside, the burglar creeps past expensive paintings and shelves of ornaments and antiques. He sees the till and opens it with his gloved hands, snatching at the money inside. Peter, still outside, shines his torch and goes in through the open door. The burglar opens a small box. He takes out a set of keys from the till. Choosing one, he then removes a green pad from the box. He pushes the key onto the pad and takes an impression of it. Peter carefully walks into the shop, shining his torch, unaware of the intruder. The burglar takes another key and repeats the same procedure, taking another impression on the other side of the green pad. He puts the pad back into the box. Peter treads on a creaky floorboard. The burglar hears him, turns off his torch, and hurries out of the shop. Peter falls to the ground. The burglar runs out of the back door and escapes down the path, just in time to miss the approaching police car. Carrying a gun, a police officer enters the shop and sees someone at the till.
Freeze! Peter! What are you
off and you were still in Bright Lane.
Oh, you thought you'd come and do some investigating?
Frank, it wasn't like that.
Now, could you have any idea how dangerous the situation could have been? Oh.
What is the meaning of this?
Mayor Cosgrove.
Yeah, well, Charlie called me about the alarm.
They got into the cash register.
Peter. My cash register?
Mayor Cosgrove opens the till, relieved to see the keys still there.
That's only about 40 bucks. What's the kid doing here?
He's a curiosity seeker, sir. I'll take him home.
All right. Well, since it's no big deal, let's not blow this whole thing out of proportion. We don't want the residents to get alarmed, huh? Yeah. Well, say, Frank, how's this budget thing going, huh?
Fine.
Good. You know, I'd hate to see your father have to go just because we can't find the cuts to make in your department. Oh, that reminds me. What about that quote I asked you for the new squad car?
Back at the police station, Your Honor. I'll pick him up, bring him by here after I've taken him home.
Good, good. Okay, well, good.
You.
Hey, Frank, did he mean Charlie?
Peter and Frank leave.
Didn't get my Betty Page collection.
In the ice cream van.
Klutz?
Oh, thank you. That's very nice. I'm in there risking my neck and you call me a klutz? Practically cut my foot off.
So, did you get it?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, good work. Everything is falling into place, Stan. You know, I'm hungry.
Beverly pulls the wrapper off an ice cream.
Are you hungry?
Stan reverses the van. Inside Leesbrook Community Services, Peter sits clutching his cycle helmet with a police badge on the front.
As soon as I finish up this paperwork, we'll be heading home.
Hey, Frank, does Charlie know yet?
Frank and Peter leave the building. Peter waits outside.
Hey! Oh, Charlie.
What have I always told you about being a good cop?
Always be prepared for anything.
And?
Kick him in the shins.
Well, you got it, kiddo.
Hey, why so down?
Well, Frank's all mad at me. Kinda ruined a bust.
Kinda? Now, Peter, you know better than to get yourself involved in the big stuff. You stick to your neighborhood watch. Okay?
I was just doing what Dad would have done. Hey, Charlie, did you always want to be a cop?
What are you, kiddo, 11? Let's see, when I was 11, what did I want? Oh, yeah, I wanted to be a baseball player. I used to dream I was Babe Ruth.
Really?
Yeah, but just as well. I mean, who needs the weight problem? Besides, look at me now. Now I get all the really rough assignments. Like getting a coffee for him.
Come on, kiddo, let's go.
Frank sees Peter home.
Hi, Mom.
Peter? Frank? Frank, is he in some kind of trouble?
Only with you. Cosgrove's store was broken into and...
Peter broke into the mayor's store?
Oh, no, he was just somewhere he shouldn't have been, that's all.
Frank, what happened?
Alarm went off, he went in. There's nothing to worry about. Somebody grabbed a measly 40 bucks out of the cash register and ran.
Well, next time it might not be such a small thing. You know, I remember when it used to play ball and idolize Cal Ripken Jr. Now it's cop shows and Angela Lansbury.
You'll be fine.
Thank you for bringing him home.
Sure.
That's it, Peter. No TV tonight.
But NYPD Blue is coming.
Especially
in.
That. Peter, what is going on here? I mean, this is getting to be just too much. Break-ins, muggers.
Mom.
We've discussed this.
I just want to do something important. Like Dad. He loved what he did.
Sweetie, but he loved you even more. And he would not want to see you get hurt.
I know me better than that, Mom.
I hope so. Now get ready for bed. Now.
Sarah walks back into her study, sits down, and holds her head in her hands in despair. Peter walks to a cupboard, opens the door, and pulls out a wooden chest. He carries it into his bedroom, puts it on the bed, opens it, and lifts out a scrapbook. He sits on the bed and opens the book.
Alive, Mom and I cut out everything ever written about him. I was sure my scrapbook wouldn't be big enough.
Inside the police station, Charlie takes Frank a coffee.
Hi, you're back. Got coffee and donuts. Try not to get too excited. It's not good for the ticker. Jelly or glazed?
Jelly's fine.
Careful, jelly stains. Decaf or regular?
What is regular?
Black or cream?
Black, of course.
Sugar?
No.
There you go. Had a problem with the kid tonight?
Yeah.
Was Sarah very upset?
She was pretty upset.
Well, lucky she has you.
What do you mean?
Nothing.
Nothing. She doesn't have me. I'm helping her out with a little problem.
Problem?
Yeah, a little. There's nothing between us.
Nothing at all.
I don't know what you're inferring here, but Paul was her husband, and he was my partner, and this man stood for me to the very last. This is the least that I can do.
Ah, the very least.
That's right.
Besides, when Sarah's ready, she'll come around.
In the morning, Peter is just waking up.
Oh, man, it's early.
Well, it's going to be sunny and hot, hot, hot today. Temperatures in the upper 80s, lows tonight all around 75. Currently 79 at the Leesburg Community Center.
Peter gets off the bed and gets dressed. He goes to the cupboard again, pulls out the chest and carries it into his room. He opens it and takes out a Polaroid camera, a mini cassette recorder, and a magnifying glass. He runs into the kitchen, opens a drawer and takes out some plastic bags and a pair of rubber gloves. He jumps on his bike and rides off down the road, soon arriving at Mayor Crosgrove's shop. He screeches to a halt and goes in.
Well, we could give this to charity and take the deduction.
I'm Mayor Crosgrove.
Peter, you're back.
I dropped something here last night. Mind if I look around?
Search for yourself.
Thanks.
Well, I didn't see anything back there before when I was cleaning up a broken vase. Thank goodness for cheap imitations.
Peter sees his badge on the floor, kneels down and puts it in his pocket. He sees a piece of broken china, pulls out his camera and takes a photograph of it. He puts on a rubber glove and carefully puts the piece of china into a plastic bag. He then takes the cassette recorder from his rucksack.
Large piece of glass with blood on it. Robert must have cut himself. There's more.
Peter takes his camera, cassette, gloves, and plastic bags and heads for the back door.
How you doing back there?
Blood. Drop of blood. And another.
He follows the small bloodstains that are on the path. He carries on walking and turns the corner and stops on the street opposite a garage.
They stop. The blood drops stop. Downey's garage.
The ice cream van sits outside Beverly and Stan's run-down home. Inside, Stan is making coffee. As he stirs it, Beverly walks into the room.
No, don't!
Oh, Beverly, please. I've asked you so many times. Don't shout at me in the morning.
I'm sorry, but don't drink that!
I can't function without my coffee.
You won't be functioning at all if you drink that. That's the plastic for the key mold.
Give me that.
I should have let you drink it. Maybe it would have shut your mouth for good.
In the park, two boys are teasing Lisa, the new girl in town. Peter rides to the rescue.
Tom, Billy, leave her alone.
Are you okay? Is this what they mean by small town charm?
Bullies!
Nice to see there's some gentlemen in this one-horse town.
Huh?
Never mind. I'm Lisa. Is everyone here a one-syllable dolt like those Neanderthals back there?
You talk awful fast.
People say I'm wise beyond my years. It's from moving around so much. My dad gets transferred a lot. I'm used to this. New town, new people, being treated like an outsider. That's okay, though. Bill's character. So?
What?
You still haven't told me your name yet. Oh, Peter. Well, oh, Peter, it's nice to meet you.
You want to get a soda or something?
You mean, like, a date? Really, oh, Peter, get over yourself. You're kind of cute, but I just want to be friends.
I got things to do.
Boys.
Hey, Britta! What you investigating today? Robbery, Main Street. When you coming back to play ball?
Peter walks into the police department.
Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Kel.
What's going on?
Nothing. It is quieter than a monk's convention in here.
Anything on the B&E last night?
Peter, leave it alone. Well, Jim dusted for prints. Nothing. And they found some blood spots, but it didn't lead anywhere. It's small potatoes anyway, just a few bucks missing.
No crime's too small.
You tell that to the guys who make the budget.
Yeesh, I hate these things. Press the F1 key.
Frank presses a key on the computer.
And they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
What are these?
Donuts. I think they call it downsizing.
I am a cop. What do I know about budgets?
Hey, Charlie, could you do me a favor?
Is this going to get me in trouble with your mother?
No, it's my science project for when school starts up.
School? Sounds vaguely familiar.
Come on, Charlie, quit kidding. I've got this blood sample. It's mine. Anyway, it's on the slide. Can you run this up to the boys in the lab? Get a blood type?
The boys in the lab? What, have been watching Homicide again?
Come on, Charlie. Please.
All right, I'll do it, but that's all. If you think I can get your DNA, RF, LP, WXYZ, you've been watching Court TV too much.
Thanks, Charlie. You're the best.
Yes, I am.
As he leaves, a detective comic falls out of Peter's rucksack. Charlie picks it up and studies it. Outside, Peter wheels his bike to the curb and narrowly misses being knocked down. The van that misses him has Downies written on the back. Peter has a flashback to Downey's garage, and then to the bloodstains on the street outside the garage.
really wanted to check out Downey some more. I knew Mom would kill me if I was late for dinner.
Back at Peter's house.
Hi, sweetie. I'm sorry I'm late. Why is the table set?
Whoops.
Oh, Peter. I ask you one little thing. Why don't you forget things like Law and Order being on tonight?
Because it's my favorite.
Of course. So I brought you something. I know your birthday's not for a couple weeks.
You got me a new scanner.
No. I know the summer leagues are signing up next week, and I thought maybe you'd want to sign up for them.
Sarah gives Peter a baseball glove.
Thanks, Mom.
Outside the house, a police car pulls up.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I know the zoning budget to do tomorrow. Uh-huh. Yes, I'm working on them right now. Uh-huh. Mr. Mayor, that's my door. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Yes, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Sarah gathers up some papers, then opens the door to Frank.
Peters, you left him.
Of course. Come on in. I'm just getting ready for dinner.
Well, I can't really stay or anything. I gotta get back to the station. I'm doing budgets and stuff.
Oh, tell me about it.
Budget marinara, my favorite.
Would you like some soda?
No. Thanks. Anyway. Sure smells great in here, though. You always were a great cook. Paul used to say... Stupid. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I know you mean well.
You know, if there was anything that I could do to change that night, I would. I mean, when he insisted on changing shifts, I should have just said,
yes, I know, and then a drunk driver wouldn't have hit him. I know, we've been through this, please.
You gotta remember, he loved what he did. He couldn't have done anything, he wouldn't have done anything.
And I'm the one who's left alone trying to raise a kid who wants to follow in his father's footsteps, but who doesn't realize what it's doing to me. Frank, you have got to stop encouraging Peter with all this cop stuff.
Oh, I'm trying. It's just he's so much like Paul.
Frank hands Sarah Peter's comic.
Listen, Sarah. If you ever need anything, you know you can count on me.
Frank leaves. Upstairs, Peter is typing on his laptop computer.
Okay, read what we've got back.
Evidence. Bloody piece of mirror.
Not that voice.
$40 stolen, blood trail, to do, tomorrow morning, question Mr. Downey.
Right, Downey.
In the morning, Peter skates down the drive on his rollerblades with his rucksack on his back. He skates down the street towards Downey's garage.
Guys are all the same. You keep bugging me, you kids.
What happened to your hand?
I cut it yesterday. Because of the man.
What man?
Man, the system. Cosgrove and his cronies.
The mayor?
Yeah, he's been trying to run me out of town for years. They keep accusing me of code violations. I keep fixing this stuff. But they keep finding more. Get out of here. I got work to do.
Peter skates off back down the street as fast as his blades will allow and heads towards the police department. He runs up the steps and, still on his blades, he skates into the office.
You want to make another
pot? Charlie! I've got it!
Yeah, me too. I haven't been able to sit all morning.
Huh?
Never mind. What have you got?
I know who did it.
Did what?
Robbed the mayor's store. Do you have the blood test results?
Now, wait a second. I thought that blood test was for school.
Would you have done it if I told you what it was really for?
Good point. You're gonna make a great cop, but an even better politician.
Hey, Frank, I know who robbed the mayor's store. Downey.
Listen, I thought we agreed you were going to let us do the investigating. Charlie, you got the report on mall vandalism?
But, Frank.
No buts about it. You can't go around accusing people of things without proof.
But I have proof. Bitch, the blood test matches Downey's.
What's he talking about?
Well, he came to me. You were busy with those darn budgets.
And I'll bet you it matches the blood I scraped off the broken glass from the mayor's store.
Whoa, wait a minute. Are you telling me that you removed evidence from a crime scene? Peter, you know better than that.
Frank, just listen. There's blood, his hands cut, and the drops lead to his garage. Besides, Downey hits the mayor.
Frank, don't you think you should at least look into it?
Yeah, well, but I'll look into it.
Guy's got a record.
See?
And granted, it was in the 60s, but hey, it was chic back then.
Do you think this lets you off the hook?
It's me, Charlie.
And I want you to go right home, because I don't want you to be late for dinner, because I don't want to have to explain to your mom what you've been up to.
Thank you.
Please don't. Channel 9 has a Dragnet marathon on tomorrow.
Get out of here.
Thank you.
Run Downey's blood by Doc Wentworth. If there's any sort of match, I'll question him.
I already did.
Frank goes to question Downey.
What are you guys looking at, huh?
Thanks, Jim. His alibi checks out. He was playing harmonica at the Moose Lodge. Sorry for the inconvenience. Good day to you.
Once again, the man's coming down on the little peoples. Get off my property, Sparky. Pipe-smoking, beard-wearing, no-good communist punk.
Back at the police department.
Hey, Charlie.
Boy, if it isn't Sherlock Holmes.
What happened with Mr. Downey?
Peter, yeah. Come on in here. Downey didn't do it.
But I thought...
He's got an alibi. Listen, kiddo, I've been thinking about our arrangement, and, you know, it's okay with me if you ride around in the squad car with us sometimes, but I really think the time has come for you to leave the police work to us.
Frank.
No buts. I'm really counting on you on this one, okay?
Frank, Mayor on line one. I suddenly have the urge to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Mayor.
Frank, about your budget proposal? Town council shot it down. Someone has to go and...
So what, the oldest goes first? Is there anything that I can do?
Well, you could plead his case before the town council tomorrow evening. But it's your last shot.
Thank you, Mayor Cosgrove.
At night, outside Downey's garage, dressed in black, Beverly and Stan creep up to the door.
Go ahead. Be careful this time, Stan.
What do you mean, be careful? I'm always careful. You want to do this?
Well, I could probably do it better. No, remember the old lady that I punched out in Churchville?
Oh, that was different.
Oh, how hard is it to break something open without cutting yourself? Come on.
I told you, I didn't cut myself breaking in. I cut myself falling over glass inside.
Claude? So what are we waiting for? Come on, break it. Did you cut yourself again?
No, I banged my funny bone.
They enter the garage and look around. Stan points to the key rack and rushes over. Beverly goes to the till.
Do not duplicate, huh? Watch this.
Stan pulls a key from his pocket.
$40? Jeez, that's all they keep in these things?
It'll all be worth the trouble when we make the big score, baby.
Remember that couple in Lansdale, the ones you tied up?
Oh, yeah. They were quaking in their boots.
Yeah. Oh, you were good.
Stan puts the key into the key cutting machine and cuts a new one.
Once we pull off this job, they're going to have to erect a statue of me.
He opens the machine, takes out the key, puts the original one in his pocket, and holds up the new one.
There it is.
The next morning, in Peter's room, he switches on his police radio.
Is out? I mean, can't you send somebody else? Jim's still inside taking down
county statement.
Did they get much?
Nah, just $40 from the cash register.
How's the coop? Oops. I mean Downey.
He's fine. He's fine. Takes a lot to shake that guy up.
Downey's place was robbed.
In the park.
So where's the fire?
There's been two robberies.
Ooh, hot time in the old town.
Actually, I'm in the middle of the investigation.
Who are you, Plumbo Jr.?
Very funny. The cops don't seem to care too much because the robberies were so small. But I know something's up.
Cool, some excitement. I'm on a case with you, Starsky.
No, you're not. I work alone.
Aw, oh, come on. Two heads are better than one. Besides, what do you know about detective work?
My dad was a cop.
Was?
He died about a year ago.
Wow, that's tough.
Because we did everything together. He used to tell me, if you see something wrong, you gotta make it right.
I think you need a partner. Come on, Cagney had Lacey. Nick had Nora Charles. Batman had Robin. Wait, check that last one. I'm not into green tights.
Okay, I'll tell you what. You can come along, and if I need your help, I'll ask. If not, stay out of it.
Deal.
At Downey's garage, Downey is repairing a car. Pete and Lisa arrive on their bikes.
See those old clunkers over there?
Yeah?
Downey hates it when kids play in them. Go play in them.
What? I'm a decoy?
Shh.
They get off their bikes. Peter walks in one direction, and Lisa walks towards Downey.
Hey, what are you doing here?
Who, me?
Yeah, you. I told you kids not to come around here.
Well, I'm new in town. Know where a girl could get the manicure?
Oh, gee.
Peter walks into the garage.
Good thing for Lisa. She had a vocabulary that could confuse a guy for a month. All I needed was a little time.
Peter takes off his rucksack and pulls out his Polaroid camera and takes a photograph of the till. He puts the photo in his rucksack and sees the key cutting machine. He takes a photograph of it and puts the photo and his camera in his rucksack. He pulls out a magnifying glass and studies the shreds of metal next to the key cutting machine, then scrapes them into a plastic bag.
Ooh, what kind of car is that? My brother's in the market.
I don't have time for games, kid. Look, I got work to do, okay? And I don't need you to get hurt.
But wait, Mr. Downey! Don't go in yet!
Peter hides.
Hey, wait a minute,
are you still here?
Peter jumps out of the cupboard, absolutely petrified, as Downey walks towards him.
What are you doing in here?
Yeah, what are you doing in here? These neighborhood kids, I see what you mean. They don't ever leave you alone, do they?
Yeah.
Well, what do you have to say for yourself?
I was, looking to have a key made for my mom. She wanted to know how much it would cost.
79 cents. That darn thing still works.
You mean the machine's broken?
I don't know. I haven't used it in a year.
Oh, okay, I'll tell my mom.
Yeah, you do that. You kids get out of here. I got work to do.
Thank you, Mr. Downey. I'll come by every now and then just to say hello.
Yeah, whatever.
What was all that about? What was all what about?
All that about all these neighborhood kids. I'll stop by every once in a while.
What was that? That was called good detective work.
What?
Number one, if your partner gets caught, don't let on that we know each other. Number two, all that about neighborhood kids and all was to give you time to come up with a decent excuse for being in there. Well, what'd you find?
Nothing for sure, anyway.
Well, I don't trust that guy. He gives me the creeps.
Lisa, why don't you go to the park? I'll meet you there in a few minutes.
Sure. See you there.
Peter walks back into the garage.
Mr. Downey? I was wondering if I could talk to you.
You kids are worse than the rats in this place. Never leaving me alone.
Well, I need to tell you something.
What already?
Remember that time Frank questioned you about the robbery?
What about it?
I kind of told him that I thought you did it.
You snitch.
Please don't be mad. It's just that when I saw your hand in the blood, and the blood trail from the collectibles store, and all the things you said about the mayor, I'm sorry I caused you trouble.
It takes a lot of guts to admit that you're wrong. Apology accepted, kid.
I promise to make it up to you.
In the park, Peter and Lisa cycle to the ice cream van.
Lisa?
Hey! Wanna get some ice cream?
Sure. All this detective work's got my appetite going.
I'm gonna get a slide up. What do you want?
Is this on you?
Sure.
Make it two.
Let's get them.
Hi, can I have two slide ups, please?
Stan, slide up kid is back.
Slide ups? We don't have any slide ups, kid. Ice cream is ice cream. What do you want?
How long you guys had this truck?
5 years.
What Stan means is that we've had the truck for 7 years, but we've been using it for 5.
I don't remember seeing you before this year. Where are you guys from?
Morley.
Southampton.
What Stan means is that we are originally from Southampton,
yeah.
But we've been living in Moreland for about a year.
Oh.
We never said.
Peter hands Lisa some money.
Get what you want. It's stolen. I'm gonna have a look around.
Got it.
He creeps around the back of the van.
Where did I get Moreland, huh?
The same place you pull everything else.
What shall I have?
And peers in through the door.
What's your biggest seller today?
Sandwiches.
Okay.
Biggest seller? Who is she? Price Waterhouse Jr.?
Lisa gives Beverly the money, and Stan gives her a pack of sandwiches.
You know, this problem with not having slide-ups could be solved with a computerized inventory program.
Peter notices bloodstains on Stan's trainers.
Xanthan gun? What exactly is it?
How should I know?
I've never bought Xanthan at the 5 and 10. Is it sweet?
So now she's a food inspector.
Peter slowly removes a wallet from Stan's jacket pocket and pulls out a card. The name on it reads Marvin Richards, with a telephone number underneath.
Wait!
Look, kid, what is it already? You want to know what kind of gas I put in the truck?
Well, now that you mention it...
Look, we gotta go.
That's okay. Don't want you to think I'm nosy or anything.
Lisa rushes to the back of the van.
Why do I always have to be the decoy? Because you think fast and always have something to say. Great. When I want to go to Harvard, I'll use you as a reference. Marvin Richards. I've seen that name before.
They watch the van pull away.
It's not the way to Moreland. Lisa, I'll catch you later. Yeah, I better get going too.
Peter rushes to a phone box and picks up the phone book.
In it.
He frantically looks through it.
Twerking. It's not there.
At the police department.
Hey, Jelly, what's going on?
Hey, kiddo, not a thing. I've been watching the mold grow in the refrigerator.
Mind if I hang a while?
Knock yourself out.
Peter sits on a desk behind Charlie and opens a small drawer. He sees some numbers typed on paper, one of which is an access code. He makes a note of it, glancing up at Charlie to check that he is not looking. He closes the drawer.
Hey, Charlie?
Hmm?
If you knew something was going to happen, but you didn't know what or when, how'd you go about it?
Call the psychic hotline.
Come on, Charlie. Where's Frank?
He's out at the school checking out vandalism. He thinks it's a couple of bullies bored with nothing to do.
Hey, what'd Dad and Frank do if they had a hunch about something?
Get proof.
I can see you're busy, Charlie, so I'll just check you later.
Yeah, I'll see you, kiddo.
Peter clutches the piece of paper, runs out, and dashes home on his bike. He sits on his bed and types in the access code on his computer. The name Moreland comes up. He types in the name Stan Dworking. The search result says no records.
I'm in. Let's try Beverly. Working.
No records.
One more try. Marvin Richards.
No records.
Let's try the DMV.
Department of Motor Vehicle Registration Search.
Stan Dworkin.
No records. Beverly and Stan's house.
All right, it's 7 o'clock. 2 hours before it gets dark. Now, I figured out where to put the truck. Right here.
Oh, yeah.
That way it'll be out of sight.
Yeah, good call, Stan. Yeah,
well, once we get into City Hall, it's a piece of cake. We'll be in and out of there in 2 seconds. And all we gotta do is wait for Mrs. Rich Lady to leave town. We're home free.
That night in Peter's room.
We've got the mayor's store.
He marks a map.
$40 stolen. And Downey's.
He marks Downey's garage on the map.
$40 again.
He looks at the photograph of the key cutting machine.
But the key machine. Why would someone break in and use the key machine? We're obviously dealing with someone very clever.
Outside City Hall, again dressed in black, Beverly and Stan run and stop at each walled pillar leading up to the front of the building. Peering round each one, they finally get to the glass doors.
You're
telling me you don't have the key?
Don't have the key. Did you look in your pockets?
I don't have it.
Oh, wait a minute. I got it.
This was in your shoe?
Yeah.
I hate to think what else you might have in there.
They enter the building. Back in Peter's room.
What does that have to do with the mayor's store? And are Stan and Beverly involved? Key machine. That's it. The mayor checked his keys when his store was robbed. Could be a key to City Hall. There's nothing worth stealing in there.
Inside City Hall, Beverly and Stan shine their torches and make their way along the corridor. They see a door with the words City Planner. They enter the room. Stan shines his torch on some plans that lay in the pigeonholes with the heading Historical Section. He pulls one out.
This is it.
He opens it up and lays it out on a desk. Beverly switches on the desk light. The plan is of Mrs. Jacobs' mansion house.
Soon we're gonna have it all.
I could sell for a place like this.
A place like this?
Yeah.
What about our dream? The motorhome.
A motorhome? That is your idea of a dream?
Yeah.
We gotta think bigger.
Bigger? Why? If we had a place like this, we'd be doing nothing but cleaning all the time.
And a motorhome? There would be plenty of cleaning every time a tornado whipped through.
Wait a minute. Am I to understand now that a motorhome is no longer good enough for you?
Only one way to find out. Get proof.
In Peter's room, he picks up 2 walkie-talkies.
Testing. 1, 2, testing.
He opens a drawer and takes out some black tape and tapes his mini cassette recorder to one of the walkie-talkies. Back at City Hall, Stan rolls up the plans and switches off the light. In the morning, Mrs. Jacobs is on the phone.
So I'll be leaving this afternoon until next Wednesday, visiting my daughter.
Of course, Mrs. Jacobs.
Oh, Charlie, how many times have I told you to call me Edna? You make me feel so old when you call me Mrs. Jacobs.
You're just a kid.
You are a sweetheart. Now about my house.
I'll see to it personally. Believe it or not, I'm not chained to my desk. When I'm good, my son lets me go all the way across town to Moreland's Bakery for donuts.
Charlie, you're too much.
That's what all the women say.
Charlie.
Bye, Mrs. Jacobs.
At Peter's house.
Mom, I'm going out!
Peter, wait! Hon, will you do me a huge favor? Will you give Mrs. Jacobs these maps? She needs them for her trip.
Hey, Mom, do they keep anything valuable at City Hall?
No, except for the people who work there. Files, lots of files. Blueprints, deeds, things like that. How come?
Just curious.
You are never just curious.
Bye, Mom!
And no police station!
As Peter cycles to Mrs. Jacobs' house, Beverly and Stan, hidden behind trees in their van, study the plans.
Stop wiggling your leg. Thank you. Now, here's where we are. Here's where the front door is. Here is where I think the secret room of the safe ought to be.
Ought to be or is? I mean, we gotta be sure.
Is. Now, the lady told me that she's leaving tonight.
I love it when you act like Marvin Richards. I mean, it just gives me goosebumps.
She's leaving tonight, and she won't be back till Wednesday.
Are you sure?
Why are you doubting me?
I'm just double-checking. What's the matter with that?
Nothing, as long as you don't contradict me. I hate being contradicted.
Who's contradicting? I'm just double-checking.
As long as it's not double-checking via contradiction.
It's double-checking via checking.
Hi, guys!
Oh, hello! Oh, it's you! Stan, it's the slide-up kid. Hi.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing? Shouldn't you be at the park selling ice cream?
We're restocking.
Taking a break. What Stan means is that we're taking a break from restocking. Does this mean you have slide-ups?
Yeah, we just got a whole new shipload of them.
Yeah,
here, have one
I
on
get
the house.
You one.
I'll take that.
Stan rolls up the plan, and Peter notices the word on it say "Property of City Hall." Beverly hands Peter an ice lolly. He studies it and looks at them disappointed.
It's not a slide up. It's a Blue Thunder.
Oh. Well, I think a Blue Thunder is much more cool.
Yeah, look, kid, we're sort of busy around here, so could you make like an egg and beat it?
That's okay. You've been a great help.
Oh, goodbye.
That kid asks a lot of questions. Should we be worried?
He's just a kid.
That's exactly what worries me. I was just a kid once, too.
Peter creeps round the van.
I feel like a darn Pied Piper. The kids follow me around wherever I go.
Yeah, but you look so cute in your ice cream outfit.
Cute? We haven't looked this ridiculous since we posed as Bible salesmen for that heist in Tuscaloosa.
Personally, I thought that was a variant.
He puts the walkie-talkie with the tape recorder under the driver's seat. Beverly and Stan close the back doors, and Peter runs to his bike. As the van drives off, Peter hides behind a hedge, waiting.
I was sure those two were up to no good. Unless I got the goods on them, no one would believe me.
As the van passes, he leaps on his bike and follows it down the road, listening to the conversation on his walkie-talkie, recording it on his cassette, which are both taped to the handlebars.
Can't wait to ditch the stupid truck.
Won't be long now.
You getting those goosebumps again?
Yeah, I know. I always do when we're getting ready to do a big job.
They're gonna rob the bank tonight.
The tape recorder falls off Peter's bike and is crushed by a passing van. Peter gets off his bike and holds up the broken tape, which is now a mangled wreck. He rushes to the police station.
Frank, you're not going to believe this. They're going to rob the bank.
Now pull the O'Leary file, would it be? I thought we agreed that we weren't going to keep doing this, Peter.
But I heard them with my own ears.
Check priors. Who?
Stan and Beverly.
Who are Stan and Beverly?
They own the ice cream truck?
No, Peter, no. No, no, no. First you tell me it's Mr. Downey. Now you're telling me it's the ice cream man? Who's next?
I hear the Queen of England's got money troubles.
But, Frank, I heard them. They're going to rob the bank tonight. I tried to get proof, but...
You expect me to believe a cockamamie story about ice cream thieves?
I saw them looking at these drawings. They said property of City Hall.
Drawings?
Yeah. Looked like a building. Like maybe the bank. I saw them looking at them in their truck. I know they stole them from City Hall.
There were no reported break-ins at City Hall.
Because they had a key.
Okay, how'd they get a key?
This. Key shavings. Stan and Beverly got a copy of the Mayor's City Hall key from his store and copied it at Mr. Downey's.
They made a mold. Oldest trick in the book. Almost as old as my career.
Stan broke into the Mayor's store to make a mold of the key. I saw a sneaker and there was blood on it. They broke into Downey's to get a copy of the key and got into City Hall to steal the plans. It's all there.
As much as I hate to admit it, I think you may be onto something. But listen, this has got to stay between you and I. I don't want you saying anything to your mother. She's got enough to worry about right now.
Sure. Hey, Frank. Isn't this just like you and Dad used to do?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like we used to do. Oh, town council meeting. I got to make the proposal tonight.
I'll go to the meeting.
No. It's got to be me this time. It's important.
No discussion, Frank. You go and catch those guys. Okay?
At Downey's garage, Arnold Downey is repairing Mrs. Jacobs' car.
Relax, Mamacita. Here's your problem. Radiator hose. It's broken.
Well, that doesn't smell... sound too bad, does it?
No, not once I get the part. Probably tomorrow.
Tomorrow? But I wanted to leave today.
Hey, relax. You can hang out with me. We can listen to the Doors.
Hey!
Yeah, well, reminisce about high school.
High school? Well, that was a long time ago.
Well, I don't remember too much between then and now. I do remember you being pretty fine, though.
I mean, not that you're not fine now. I mean.
In his room, Peter listens to his walkie-talkie.
Those two kids smashed some car windows on Main.
Roger, I'll check it out. Over.
Do you have any TA on that?
Oh, about 10 minutes.
In the grounds of Mrs. Jacobs' house, Stan and Beverly watch her from behind a tree.
Me, something must have happened.
Yeah, you're losing it. This is what I get to look forward to in my old age.
I hate to say it, babe, but you're not that far from it already.
That's a horrible thing to say. My wrinkles. You got them, too.
Yeah, but on me, they're character lines.
Now you're saying I don't have character? After all these years, this is the truth. This is what you really think of me.
What I think is that you're a nudge, a nag, and a thorn in my side.
Yeah, well, I'll stick something else in your side if you don't watch out.
Would you listen to how we're talking to each other? Gotta keep our focus on the job at hand.
Yeah, you're right, sweetheart.
But
next.
We'll check it out and come back tomorrow.
That night, outside the bank, Frank and another officer wait in their patrol car.
Looks like everything's quiet at the bank tonight.
Hello?
Hi, Sarah. It's Frank.
Hello, Frank.
Listen, I was just calling to check on Peter. Is he there with you?
Oh, yeah, he's in his room. Why, do you need to talk to him?
No, not really. Just something might be coming down tonight. I wanted to make sure he was safe at home.
Well, I appreciate you calling.
Bye, sir.
Bye-bye.
Frank, you there?
Hey, Charlie, how'd the meeting go?
The committee chairman said he'd rather have a new squad car than an extra cop, and I told him where he could put the squad car.
Dad, you didn't.
Hey, don't worry. Retirement won't be so bad. I've always wanted to learn how to play shuffleboard. Over and out.
Over and out.
The next morning, Mrs. Jacobs speaks to Stan on the phone.
Well, no, Mr. Richards, my plans haven't changed. I'm leaving this morning. But I still want to meet with you next week.
Mrs. Jacobs, let me just tell you. It's a pleasure doing business with you. No. Thank you.
Stan rushes out of the phone box to hug Beverly. At Mrs. Jacobs' house...
Hello? Oh, Arnold. What? Oh, well, what do you mean my car's still not ready? Well, here, I'm telling everyone I'm leaving. Oh, my daughter's going to be so disappointed. Okay.
Peter skates into the police station.
Hey, Charlie. Is Frank here?
Kiddo, I don't think you want to know.
Are Stan and Beverly being sent up the river?
No.
but you might want to grab a paddle.
Peter? Peter, I'm sorry. I want you out of here now.
Frank, go easy.
Frank, what's going on?
I'll tell you what's going on. Nothing is going on. There's no bank robbery. There's no Stan. There's no Beverly. There's no more meddling in police work for you.
I don't understand.
You are not to set foot in this police station. That's no longer a request, Peter.
But Frank...
There's no buts about it. You were wrong. Why can't you be like other kids and just go play ball or something?
Because I don't want to be like other kids. I want to be like my dad.
I know you miss your father. I do too. I know how you feel.
You don't know how I feel.
Peter leaves, and Frank watches him, feeling completely helpless. Peter skates into the park, looking decidedly glum, and meets up with Lisa.
Hey, there you are. Whoa, why so down? Hey, Lisa. Hey, what's the matter with you? Is this any way for a detective to be acting on the verge of breaking a case wide open? There's no case. I'm done. Back up. This is not the old Peter I know. Come on. Who should I be a decoy for? No one. You are not giving up. We are not giving up. Look, I just cost Charlie his job. Frank hates me and he's not letting me back at the station. When my mom finds out, she's gonna kill me. Come on, Peter. When you see there's something wrong, you've got to make it right. You're the one who told me that. Or is that only when there's no challenge?
They both turn to see the ice cream van arriving.
What time is it? 10 to 11? Stan and Beverly take their break at 11 and come back at 2. I'm gonna go home and get my bike and follow them. Meet me back here at 2. You get him, Peter. Thanks, Lisa.
Peter hurriedly skates off out of the park. In the ice cream van, Beverly and Stan drive to their house.
Tonight's the night. We get in, locate the room, take what we came for, and get out fast.
Did you get in touch with that contact?
Yeah, he's gonna sell the coins for us, no problem.
Oh, honey, we're gonna be rich, rich, rich.
Oh, we've never had it this easy. This is gonna be like taking ice cream from a baby.
Yeah, and you would too, wouldn't you, Stan?
Absolutely.
Peter follows them on his bike as they turn down a dusty old track. He leaps off his bike to get a closer look as the van disappears down in the valley below.
Just as I had suspected, they were on their way, right out of town. I knew I had to follow them to whatever hole they crawled into.
Peter leaps on his bike again in hot pursuit of the van, pedaling as fast as he can. The van is speeding down the track, kicking up clouds of dust. Peter freewheels down a hill and turns onto the track that leads to Beverly and Stan's rundown home. He comes to a halt near some trees and gets off his bike. He props it up against a tree and takes his helmet off, resting it on the handlebars. He sees the ice cream van outside the house and walks towards it. His bike falls over and he cringes at the noise. He creeps up to the van and looks under the driver's seat for the walkie-talkie.
Looking for this? I was wondering how it got there.
He turns to run away, but Beverly catches him and he struggles to get free. Inside the house, Peter is tied to a chair and Stan pulls out the Polaroid camera from Peter's rucksack.
Check him for a wire?
Good idea. Looky here. A policeman's badge. Whose is this?
My dad's.
Well, too bad for you. Your dad ain't around to help you out, huh?
Stan, come on. Don't be mean. It's his dad.
Come on.
Beverly and Stan go outside, but Peter can hear them outside the window. He notices the map lying on the sofa. At the top of the page, it reads Jacob's home, Leesbrook. One of the rooms, called the secret room, has been circled.
It's Mrs. Jacob's house. Stan must be Marvin Richards. They're after the gold coins.
He turns to look at Stan and Beverly still arguing outside. And as he turns back, he spies a magnifying glass on the table. Lisa arrives at Peter's house and Sarah opens the door.
Hello.
Hi. You must be Peter's mom. I'm Lisa, a friend of his.
But if you're looking for Peter, I'm afraid he's not here.
He's not?
Is something wrong?
Don't worry, kid. We'll be back to get you.
Yeah. We'll deal with you then. Come on.
At the police station.
Robbins.
Frank, it's Sarah. I'm worried about Peter. I don't know where he is.
When was the last time you saw him?
This morning. His friend Lisa came by and said something about an ice cream truck.
We'll find him.
Inside Beverly and Stan's house, still tied to the chair, Peter rocks backwards and forwards to reach the magnifying glass. He gets to the table and tries to pick it up with his teeth, but to no avail. He manages to twist round and pick it up with his fingers. Bent over, with the chair on his back and his hands tied behind the chair, he walks over to the window, where the sunlight is shining through. He looks behind him, leans backwards, and sits on the chair. Still holding the magnifying glass, he looks over his shoulder to position it so that the sunlight catches it in the right place. Outside Mrs. Jacob's house, Beverly and Stan creep round on the balcony, looking through the windows. Stan has the plans of the house in his hand. He opens a black bag and pulls out a knife and slits a hole in the fabric of the back door.
Honey, I know I said I'd be there today, but my car still isn't ready. Okay, I'll extend my visit by one more day.
The sun is now burning the rope through the magnifying glass that Peter is still holding. He looks over his shoulder and can hear the rope crackling as it smoulders away. In his patrol car, Frank is looking everywhere for Peter. At last, the rope has burnt through, and Peter rips it off his hands. He tears out of the house, free at last. At Mrs. Jacob's house, Beverly and Stan creep up the stairs, studying the plans. Beverly walks into Mrs. Jacob's bedroom and sees a pink scarf on the bed. Admiring it, she picks it up. Stan follows her.
Beverly, will you cut that out? We've got work to do.
I'm telling you, Stan, this is the life. I want to be queen of a castle.
Yeah, well, you're going to end up being a court jester if we don't finish up and get out of here.
Peter arrives at his house and sneaks behind his mother into his bedroom.
Well, if you or Josh see him, please call. Okay, thanks, Gabby.
He opens his rucksack and puts in his walkie-talkie and laptop. He sneaks out of the house again.
Hi, Trudy, it's me. Listen, has Carl seen Peter around lately?
At Mrs. Jacob's house, Beverly and Stan ascend another flight of stairs. They enter a room as Mrs. Jacobs comes out of another. She walks into another room, unaware of Stan and Beverly. They appear again and walk across the landing into another room.
All right, all right.
I know.
Thinking she has heard a noise, Mrs. Jacobs appears on the landing, a and looks around suspiciously.
What happened?
Never mind. Take this walkie-talkie.
What's going on?
There's no time for chit-chat. Something big's going down. Josh, you find Frank and tell him to come to Mrs. Jacobs. Carl, you go get Mr. Downey. You, before the whole world knows, I need you to...
Still studying the map, Stan thinks he has located the secret room. He sees a curtain and throws the map on the floor. He pulls the curtain back to reveal a door. He moves a chair, rips the curtain down and opens the door.
Beverly!
In Mrs. Jacobs' room, she emerges from the bathroom in a dressing gown and takes a shower cap off her head. Unseen by Mrs. Jacobs, Beverly walks past the open door. On the road, Peter is cycling as fast as he can go. Mrs. Jacobs disappears back into her bathroom just as Beverly peers round the bedroom door, still wearing the pink scarf she put on earlier. She enters the room and takes off the scarf. But seeing another on the floor, behind the chest of drawers, she bends down to pick it up and is hidden from view. Mrs. Jacobs walks back into the room, puts an eye mask on and lies down on the bed. Beverly holds the scarf up and walks backwards towards the bed, wrapping the scarf around her waist and shimmying as she goes. She sits on the bed on top of Mrs. Jacobs. As Peter arrives at the house, another friend rushes to the police station and another to Downey's garage. Stan ties Mrs. Jacobs up.
By the way, lady, you're not going to be getting a visit from any Marvin Richards either. Beverly, do you happen to remember which wire goes in the middle, the red one or the yellow one?
Wires are wires. Jeez, why do you have to be so messy? Why don't you just ask her for the combination? Jeez.
Good idea. Lady, tell me the combination, for the next rope you feel is going to be around your neck.
Frank.
Frank's car.
You got Frank, come on.
Josh Randall just ran in here. Said Peter's headed over to Edna Jacobs' place.
Peter?
Lisa arrives at Mrs. Jacobs' house with a karaoke machine and meets up with Peter.
You have no idea what I had to promise my brother for this. I got the maple syrup. They're gonna be in the room up there I saw circled on the plans. Why don't you use that statue over there?
Peter hands her a police uniform.
Hey, Peter?
Yeah? Your mom told me about your dad. How he was killed in the chase. You must miss him a lot.
More than anything. He was the greatest.
I think you'd take after him.
Peter opens up his laptop and attaches the microphone of the karaoke machine. He types the words, "This is the police." In the secret room, Mrs. Jacobs is tied to a chair, and Stan and Beverly open the safe. They pull out the gold coins.
Oh, my God! Oh, look at that!
Oh, Beverly, look at this. We've hit the big time now!
Dan, what's that?
What?
This is the police. We got the place surrounded.
We're trapped!
The words Peter has typed are coming through the karaoke machine. He types more.
You got 5 minutes. And we're coming in.
They are fooled when they see the statue that Lisa has dressed in police uniform.
Never was crazy about the Renaissance period.
We've got the lady up here. One move out of you and she buys the farm.
They've got Mrs. Jacobs in there.
Peter types more.
Try it, and I'll make Swiss cheese out of you.
Oh, yeah? You'll never take us alive!
Peter closes his PC and puts it in his rucksack, then takes out his walkie-talkie.
That's it, I'm going in. Cover me. Got it, partner.
He grabs the karaoke machine and runs into the house down the back stairs. He picks up a broom. Outside, Lisa pours liquid into a large toy water gun. Peter climbs the stairs holding the broom and sits down outside the secret room.
All right, we gotta think of something.
Yeah.
I'm thinking. We can't go out the front door, but we gotta get to our truck.
Yeah, but how? It's surrounded.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, you know, if you wasted so much time with that silly wire on that stupid bomb, we could have been out of here by now.
Oh, I wasted time?
He turns on the karaoke machine and types some more.
Cleopatra, yeah, I wish. Her man gave her a kingdom. My man wants to give me a trailer park.
Well, if it weren't for your man, you wouldn't even be here.
Exactly. Peter lights a fuse and puts it in a tin can.
Yeah, you know, if you wasted...
He makes a gun noise.
Oh, no. They're inside. We gotta switch to plan B.
Wait, what's plan B?
Don't ask me. I didn't know we were gonna need a plan B.
Everybody ready? Ready? On the count of three, throw in the tear gas, and then we'll get them. 1, 2, 3.
He throws the tin in the room. Stan and Beverly leap out of the window.
Don't worry about the smoke, Mrs. Jacobs. It'll be gone in a second. It's okay. Someone's coming.
Peter follows them. They run down a spiral staircase, only to be met by Lisa, who sprays them with the toy gun. They run off through the trees. Peter jumps off the stairs and Lisa follows him.
Come on, Lisa, let's follow him.
Frank arrives in the patrol car, gets out, looks around, and runs around the back of the house. The ice cream van pulls away.
Forget the bikes, hop in the car.
Peter and Lisa jump into Frank's patrol car.
Do you know how to drive this thing?
No.
Get down there.
Where?
There, with your hand. When I say gas, give it the gas. When I say brake, hit it. Gas!
Frank sees them. His mouth drops open in disbelief. He runs to the bikes, jumps on Peter's, and follows the car. The ice cream van pulls out of the drive, followed by Peter and Lisa in the car and Frank on the bike. At Peter's house...
Hello. Charlie. Frank thinks he's in Mrs. Jacobs' house. What would he be doing there?
Stan drives the van full speed down the main road, with Peter and Lisa very close behind. Peter switches on the siren.
Indianapolis 500!
Yeah, but they're gaining on it, Stan!
With her head near the brake pedal and legs in the air, Lisa struggles to keep her hand on the accelerator. Beverly kicks open the back doors of the ice cream van. She opens the freezer. She starts throwing ice cream at the police car. They splatter all over the windscreen.
Sherbet! Yes! Whoa. Hey! Those are slide-ups! That's gonna stop us?
Peter turns on the windscreen wipers. Frank is still following on Peter's bike. Arnold Downey is driving in the opposite direction.
There's a cop on a bike, Stan! Stan, quick up!
Well, that's what the kid meant by trouble.
Stan, I'm running out of ice cream!
Stan sees Arnold coming towards him, and with a look of horror on his face, tries to avoid him by swerving.
God damn it!
Beverly picks herself up from the van floor. Frank arrives and Arnold pulls up in his van.
Hey, kid. Good going.
You gotta get to Mrs. Jacobs' house. She needs your help. Come on, Lisa.
Are you all right, baby?
Peter and Lisa get out of the car, and Peter grabs one of the ice creams still on the bonnet. He strides to the ice cream van.
This is a slide-up.
Beverly takes the slide-up, and both she and Stan study it. Frank gets off the bike.
20 years of a clean life of crime only to be foiled by a kid!
I don't want to go to jail. I look terrible in stripes.
Honey, you look good in anything.
Book 'em, Franco.
Arnold rushes to save Mrs. Jacobs.
Oh, I see you. I'm here to save you.
Oh, Arnold. Oh, I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, it's a jungle out there, baby.
He carries her out, still tied to the chair.
Mrs. Jacobs, I've always wanted to tell you something, but well, I'll just tell you in the truck.
Good job, partner.
I love you, my sweet potato.
I love you, my little tangerine. Oh.
Lisa is awarded a medal.
Congratulations.
And now, to the citizen of Leesbrook, who has demonstrated leadership, bravery, in the name of our good town. The newly dedicated Paul Hanson Award goes to Peter Hanson. Yay!
Yay! Peter runs over to his mother.
Show me, Joe. Peter, you know I am so proud of you, and your father would be too. Can I see this?
You did great, kiddo. Now, I can't believe you cracked the case for a measly $40. I can learn a few things off you.
Thanks, Frank.
Now listen, Peter, I got a proposal. You know we can't hire any more manpower back at the station, but would you consider heading up the Leesbrook Junior Detectives?
Mom?
Congratulations, Peter.
Thanks, Frank.
You bet.
Of course, I can hire whoever I want for my squad.
Of course.
I expect all the perks that come with the position of senior officer.
Peter, Mrs. Jacobs has a surprise for you.
Here you are, Peter.
She gives him the coin box.
You deserve them for your heroics. I know you put them to good use.
You don't spend that all in one place, kid, huh?
These are for you, Charlie.
Whoa, that's a lot of shekels, kiddo.
I want them to go to the police department for a new car and to save your job.
Oh, Peter, that is such a wonderful gesture.
You did good, kiddo.
You sure did do good. Dad, when you come back, would you like to walk the street beat again?
Well, I'm going to go check on the food. Come on, Arnold.
You made him very happy.
Oh, well, he's becoming quite a man.
Well, you know, he's his father's son also.
I guess I'm beginning to learn that. See you later.
I've never seen so many people so happy since my brother passed the 10th grade. It's all because of you. You really made it right. Peter. Thanks.
Hey, Peter, Lisa, we're starting up a game of baseball. Do you guys want to join?
Sure. You got it. I'll meet you guys there. I have to get my glove first.
Hey, see you guys later. Come on.
Bye, sweetie. Thank you, Frank. Would you like to go out for coffee?
Thought you'd never ask.
Peter runs into his room to get his baseball glove and sees a present on the table.
Wow.
It's a miniature scanner. He puts it down and runs out with his glove.
With my new scanner, I'm styling. Yep, things are back to normal in old Leesbrook. Guess they'll save the tough assignments for me.
Mike, the sprinkler's out of control again in the square. Take your galoshes.
The end. Sarah, Alexandra Paul. Frank, Edward Albert. Beverly, Cindy Pickett. Stan, John Rubenstein. Charlie, Michael Fairman. Lisa, Bethany Richards. Mayor Cosgrove, Louis Arquette. Mrs. Jacobs, Sandra Curry. Mr. Downey, Tim Thomason. Peter, Jeremy Lelliott. Audio description services for British Sky Broadcasting. Voice by Jackie Hall on behalf of MCS Agency. But you